Welcome to the Perry Johnson Registrars Podcast, where you can expect the latest news and discussions related to the management systems certification industry. Today's episode is a previously recorded webinar. If you would like to tune in to our upcoming webinars, visit our website at www.pjr.com/webinar or give us a follow on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for tuning in.
Good afternoon, everyone, or good morning, depending on where you are, and welcome to today's webinar. My name is Parker, and I'm a member of the marketing team at the Perry Johnson Companies, and I'll be helping to facilitate today's webinar and offer support to our speakers. Today, we're joined by Melanie Blackmore, a CEO, podcaster, author, and entrepreneur who is a passionate advocate for sustainability, business excellence, and empowering organizations to go above and beyond. Melanie has been involved with the creation, development, and implementation of British and international standards for over 20 years. So with that, I'll hand it over to Mel.
Thank you, Parker. Thank you very much. And a very warm welcome for everybody that's joining today's webinar on the brand new ISO standard on artificial intelligence, ISO 42001. And as you can see, I'm a human being. This isn't broadcast to you by artificial intelligence. It's going to be a really interesting webinar that I hope you'll enjoy and get a lot out of. So without further ado, let's dive into the webinar. So whether you realize it or not, you're using AI practically every day and probably have been for many years. When you put in a location into your sat nav, you're using AI. When you ask Alexa or Siri a question, you're using AI. When you use Netflix or Hulu and it provides a recommended for you option, you're using AI. So whether we like it or not, AI is here to stay and it's embedded in our day-to-day lives. However, it's only recently we've been made aware of the massive opportunities it brings to the world of science and also business. But on the flip side, there are significant risks too. And it's for this reason that I'm excited to share with you some insights on the new AI standard ISO 42001, because this helps us to manage those risks and opportunities effectively for organizations. So in today's webinar, we'll be covering why a standard for AI has been created, what is ISO 42001, so I'll be breaking down some of those clauses within ISO 42001, who is this standard applicable to? Many people think it's just organizations that are actually AI developers. Well, it's not. It's available to any organization that uses AI. How can 42001 help businesses to manage AI risks? And what are those AI risks? And how can 42001 demonstrate credibility for organizations? Now, before we dive in, I just wanted to provide a little bit of context on Blackmore's and ISOlogy Hub's credentials, together with our experience across the ISO standards landscape. So we've worked with in excess of 600 organizations across the globe, and we've supported them to implement over 20 different ISO standards. And that's with a 100% success rate. So we've been established for 18 years now, and we've been involved with quality, sustainability, and risk-based standards. And obviously, ISO 42001 is the latest risk-based standard within our portfolio. So we are seen as leaders in our field. We have established a commanding reputation for changing the face of how ISO standards are implemented across the globe. And that's all based on the fundamental principles of ISOlogy, which is our unique seven-step approach to implementing any ISO standard, including ISO 42001. A couple of years ago, we took all of that IP and we created the ISOlogy Hub, which is our online learning and development membership platform with over 200 ISO resources. We've also got a leading podcast on this subject as well. There's a passionate about all things ISO. So this is all about dispelling myths and sharing tips on best practice when it comes to raising standards. And finally, we're also seen as ISO thought leaders, which is why PGI have invited us to this webinar today. Also, I think one thing that we were so shocked about, but we were really, really proud of, because we've always had high client satisfaction ratings. But at the end of 2023, we look back on our NPS ratings, our Net Promoter Score ratings, and we'd achieved a phenomenal 97% client satisfaction rating. So what is ISOlogy? So these are the seven steps: planning, discovering, exposing your risks and opportunities, which we'll be talking about today, creating an ISO management system, the all-important launch to ensure that employees are aware of the management system, and then engagement, which is important for the embedding of the ISO management system, and then finally review, so you can see how far you've come, and that's all the preparation that you need in readiness for your ISO certification. So I mentioned briefly about the ISOlogy Hub. I just wanted to mention that we are developing resources for ISO 42001, and we've created a wait list because it's going to be a couple of months away until that's going to be published. But if you would like further information about this standard after the webinar, then yeah, just join our wait list, and PGI will be sending out an email with a copy of this presentation plus a link to the wait list. Okay, but yeah, this is just a little snapshot of the type of information that's available over in the ISOlogy Hub. We've worked with a wide range of organisations, from construction to retail to transportation, logistics, you name it. We've worked across pretty much every sector. So let's dive into the subject that you're interested in. The reason why you're here is to learn all about ISO 42001. So why was this standard created? Well, it's been created to address the rapid growth of AI and its associated risks and challenges. As I mentioned earlier, AI has been around for some time, but it's only in recent years that we've seen a phenomenal growth across all aspects of life, including business operations. So there is some skepticism about certain aspects of AI. So wherever there is a potential for negativity or weakness, that's where the standards come in to help to promote trustworthiness, the ethical use of AI, and also the responsible development and use of AI on a day-to-day basis. The standard has been created to build public trust and to build confidence in AI technologies. We know that AI can produce some awesome results, and we had a strategy day at the beginning of this year, and we were blown away with how we could use AI in our business. So yeah, it's an area that I think there still needs to be quite a lot of confidence in the trustworthiness of using AI. And that's one of the reasons that this standard has been created. And of course, it provides that all important guidance to organisations on best practice when it comes to integrating AI management controls in our business operations. So let's take a look in a bit more detail at ISO 42001. So 42001 is the first international standard for artificial intelligence management systems. So it's been designed to help all types of organizations to implement, maintain, and improve AI management practices. It's been published not just by ISO, the International Organization for Standardization, but also the IEC, which is the International Electrotechnical Commission. And it's a very new standard. It only came out in December 2023, so just a few months ago. And the emphasis of this particular standard is on integrating AI within organisations' existing ISO management systems and their business operations. Interestingly, a lot of the specific mentions of AI and machine learning, and by the way, the definitions of these are included within the standard, are actually within the annexes rather than the body of the standard, which I will come on to explain in a moment. So let's take a look at the main clauses of ISO 42001. Well, you'll be pleased to hear that the standard is based on the same common framework, Annex SL, as the vast majority of other ISO standards. So your mainstream standards like ISO 9001, 14001 for quality and environment, and health and safety and information security standards are all based on this common framework, Annex SL, and ISO 42001 is no different. So if we look at the structure, from clauses 1 to 3, this is simply useful information. These are explanatory clauses. What that means is that they're not specific requirements. They can't necessarily be implemented, and you won't be assessed against those clauses. That all begins from clause 4. So for those of you that are familiar with other ISO standards, you'll recognise these requirements. Context of the organisation, so looking at the risks and opportunities, leadership commitment to AI, planning, support, operational controls for the use of AI, reviewing the performance of your organisations, use of AI, and then finally, improvement. So let's take a look at these in a bit more detail, starting with clause 4, context of the organisation. So we need to understand the organisation's business activities, its context in relation to its interested parties, and looking at that from the point of view of the risks and opportunities that AI brings. And there is a requirement here to have an AI management system, which of course can be integrated within your existing ISO management system framework. Leadership commitment is crucial for a dedicated level of not only understanding of the standard from a top management perspective, but how that can be embedded across the organisation. That has to come from the leadership team, which would begin with having an AI policy statement. The standard is also very specific when it comes to having dedicated roles, responsibilities, and authorities for the use and management and development of AI within the company. Of course, that could be through an organisation chart and job descriptions. So when it comes to planning, this is where we see similarities with other ISO standards like environmental health and safety and information security. We first of all need to look at the risks by carrying out a very detailed risk assessment. And once we've uncovered what all those risks are, we then need to produce a risk treatment plan, so that we can identify what risk we're exposed to, have very clear methodologies and plans for mitigating risk. The result of that would come out through the impact assessment as well. And that's something that you can monitor and measure on an ongoing basis. That also helps to deduce what your AI objectives are and also how you can plan to achieve them over a period of time. And invariably, there will be changes. AI is moving at such a rapid pace, so we need to ensure that we've got controls in place for the planning of any changes. When it comes to support, obviously, we have people that are going to be managing these processes, so we need to ensure that they're competent. Other resources will include tech. Okay, so this will include the technological products and services that you're using, and also any other subcontractors that you may be using to support the delivery of your products and services. So there is a requirement to make all key stakeholders aware of your controls around AI and to communicate them effectively. The output of that as well will be some level of documented information, but it doesn't necessarily need to be paper-based. The chances are it's all going to be online. So once you've understood your risks and the treatment plans for controlling the risks, you've got the resources in place, we need to have operational controls to manage that effectively on an ongoing basis. And this will always link back to the risk assessment and risk treatment. And of course, the impact assessment. And of course, we couldn't have an ISO management system without performance evaluation. We need to understand what matters so that we can then monitor, measure, analyze, and evaluate what matters to our organization. And what matters will come out of your risk assessment and risk treatment. The best way, as we know, for reviewing the effectiveness of our ISO management system is internal audits, and of course, being able to review the performance of the business through management review. So they're no different to any other ISO standards. So if you've already got procedures in place for performance evaluation, then they will apply to the AI standard too. And finally, last but not least, improvement. We do need to keep ahead of what's happening with AI. We do need to be the master, not the servant. So it's important that we learn from the activities within our AI management system. So there isn't much point in monitoring, measuring, and analyzing and evaluating what we're doing in relation to AI risks and opportunities if we're not going to act on it and bring that into our continual improvement cycle. So that would also mean identification of non-conformities and looking at corrective actions so we can keep on improving. I mentioned earlier on about the annexes in 42001. Now, these are really useful guidance documents. So even if you're not looking at getting certified, you may be looking at exploring this standard initially, this is a great place to start. So Annex A, let's begin there. This acts as a management guide for AI system development with a focus on trustworthiness. B, that provides implementation guidance for AI controls with specific measures for artificial intelligence and machine learning. Annex C covers the AI-related organizational objectives and risk sources. And finally, Annex D is about the domains and sectors in which an AI system may be used. It also addresses certification and, of course, encouraging third-party conformity assessment with the likes of PJR. So who is 42001 applicable to? Well, it's applicable to organisations of all sizes and industries involved in developing, deploying, or quite simply, just using AI systems. It can be used for internal governance or as a basis for external certification. And it applies to both businesses who develop and, of course, as I mentioned earlier, the use of AI. So what are the risks of using AI? So we know what the opportunities are. We can go into ChatGPT, Google Bard, which is now Gemini, and get access to all sorts of information. But with that, we do have some risks as well. So I'd just like to highlight a few of the risks that we need to be aware of when using AI. And the first one is that, you know, we have to go into this with our eyes wide open. Information sourced via AI is not always correct. It collects information published online, which may not always be correct or accurate. Likewise, there may be some bias there. AI is not free from bias. Studies have shown that AI results can still produce a biased result as it pulls from data where the bias already exists. So this can include predictive models being inaccurate due to underrepresented groups not having enough data to draw from. time sensitivity. So remember when we first started using ChatGPT, we asked ChatGPT a number of questions. We looked at the information and some of that was a little bit out of date. And that was when we realized that actually it's only accurate up until 2021. So we just need to be aware of that. So not all AI uses live data sets. So it's definitely worthwhile just double checking that as far as the source library goes. Plagiarism. I think this is probably one of the biggest risks across all businesses. It's very easy to put something into, you know, one of these AI engines and come out with an absolutely great looking result that we can just copy and paste. But remember, data is gathered using AI that came from somewhere. And if you simply copy and paste that information provided by AI platforms, there is a chance you may be plagiarizing existing content. So just be sure to use AI as a starting point and not an end point. Okay, and there have been some legal cases where organizations have been sued as a result of this. So just a couple of other risks as well using AI. I mean, there are a number of them, but I'm just highlighting a few of them today in this webinar. The use of AI can expose you to additional security risks. So for example, malicious actors could send someone an email with a hidden prompt injection in it. And if the reader if the receiver happened to use an AI virtual assistant, the attacker might be able to manipulate it into sending the attacker personal information from the victim's emails. So we know that we are open to attack, not just in emails, but it could also be audio. So my voice could be recorded and misrepresented in some other way using AI. There are lots of hidden ways that information can be repurposed through AI. And just one more point on data poisoning. So AI uses large data sets to train its models, and we're currently relying on these data sets being relatively accurate. However, researchers have found that it's possible to poison these data sets. So in future, AI may not be very reliable if preventative measures aren't put in place by AI developers now. I mean, in some cases, we've seen this poisoning being used to actually protect human-made material, such as artwork. So, for example, certain AI tools have illegally scraped hundreds and thousands of human-made art from social media sites, and then that information is used to train specific image generation models. And sadly, none of these artists were asked or compensated for their work that's been used. So they're now turning to adding poisoned layers into their artwork to make it harder for machines to read and learn from. So I mentioned about some court cases. There have been a few issues where AI has been misused, and that has either led to penalties, legal prosecutions, or in some cases, just a loss of goodwill with employees and also with clients, which could affect reputational damage for an organization. So if we just look at the first one, Dukan. In this particular case, an e-commerce CEO fired 90% of his support staff and replaced them with an AI chatbot. So for some people, you might be thinking, well, that's a heck of a financial saving. He stated that this switch reduced their customer support costs by 85%, which of course is significant. But his action sparked international outrage on social media, which did result in a negative image of the organization. And a lot of people pointed out that while chatbots are great, they can't always respond in a way that customers are satisfied with. You still need to have people, human beings, behind the first wall of customer support to deal with more complicated issues. Another example is Air Canada. So Air Canada replaced support staff with a chatbot, which resulted in a lawsuit as its chatbot wrongly instructed a customer who was then subsequently refused a refund after following the chatbot's instructions. Suffice to say, Air Canada lost the lawsuit and had to issue a refund, and they also promptly shut down the chat box. So how can 42001 help businesses manage AI risks? Well, the standard helps to provide that structure. It provides a structured approach to identify, assess, and mitigate AI risks. It provides complete transparency and promotes accountability throughout the AI lifecycle. It helps ensure fairness, non-discrimination, and respect for human rights in AI development and deployment. As I've just mentioned, obviously, there are risks associated that could result in legal cases being raised. So this helps to minimize potential legal and ethical liabilities associated with AI, but also on the upside, from looking at the opportunities that AI brings, it can also really help to foster innovation and accelerate adoption of responsible AI practices. And finally, as it's an international standard, it does provide a common language and a framework for collaboration on all AI projects across all industries. So how can ISO 42001 demonstrate credibility for organizations utilizing AI? Well, the compliance process for 40001 involves conducting an impact analysis, so assessing the impact of AI systems, in considering areas like fairness, transparency, and safety, developing and applying AI-related policies, focusing on internal organization and also AI system lifecycle, which can then lead to operational controls, data management, so ensuring transparent and responsible handling of data used in AI systems, and finally, providing that framework for monitoring continuous improvement. So being able to continuously assess the risks and opportunities to improve the AI systems. Additionally, those who want to be certified to 42001 would need to be assessed by a third-party certification body in order to verify conformity. I hope that webinar has been useful for you in terms of understanding some of the risks associated with AI, but also the opportunities and where ISO 42001 could potentially be beneficial. So I'd like to thank you very much for listening to this webinar on 42001. And whether we like it or not, I think it's fair to say that AI is here to stay. And in my opinion, we may as well be the master of it rather than the servant. So ISO 42001 is a perfect framework for you to take back that control. I'd also recommend, just as a minimum, taking a step back from your organization and looking at those opportunities and risks that you perceive that AI presents to your organization. If you'd like to find out more about the standard and how it can be implemented in your organization, then feel free to get in touch. Our contact details are on the screen here. There will be an email that's sent out to you following on from this webinar that PGI will send out with a copy of this presentation and also a link to join the waitlist if you would like to join it to get further access to ISO 42001 training materials and resources that we're currently developing in the ISOlogy Hub. So once again, thank you very much for listening, and I look forward to answering any questions that you may have. So I can see we've got a number of attendees there. Let me just have a quick look to see if we've got any questions coming up. I mean, just getting access to that. I mean, one of the questions that we get asked quite often is, how long would it take to implement a standard? And the answer to that is anywhere from between 4 months to 12 months, depending on the size of the organisation and what you've currently got in place. So in terms of the implementation, obviously it helps if you've already got an ISO standard in place, because as I mentioned earlier, we have got all of the common elements in Annex SL in ISO 42001, which are also in other ISO standards. So I've got another question here. Why do you see ISO 42001 in relation to likely regulatory control that will be implemented? Well, thank you very much for that question, Mark. In terms of the standard, this is created by technical committees across the globe that represent various regulatory bodies. I think I mentioned earlier, it's not just the ISO, it's the IEC that has also contributed to this, which is also contributing to regulatory controls. We have to remember that, of course, this is an international standard, so it can't cover country-specific regulatory control. What it will do is ensure that an organisation has a mechanism to identify the applicable statutory, regulatory and contractual requirements in relation to AI. And that's something that's common with other ISO standards as well. So when you're doing the risk assessment, that's when we need to identify what those regulatory requirements are for your specific country, or indeed for the trade that you're in. So they might, depending on the sector. So for example, we work with a lot of data center organizations, domain registries as well. So there will be some that will be governed by different regulations depending on the sector as well, not just on the country. So in terms of how this fits with regulatory control, it's not mandatory that organisations adopt ISO 42001. We'll have to wait and see what happens with that in the future. We have seen other standards being adopted through regulatory bodies. A good example of that is in the energy management space, and across Europe there are regulations on energy reporting and compliance, and the recommendation is that ISO 50001 is adopted and then you're fully compliant with that regulation. So the standard only came out in December last year and it's early days, so we'll have to wait and see. So thank you for that question, Mark. Kashif's question, what about auditing AI management systems? Which auditing standard will be used? Great question, Kashif. Yes, so there is a requirement within the standard to audit your AI management system. So in terms of the compliance and governance of your AI management, you will need to create an audit schedule and conduct internal audits on your AI management system. You're asking the question, which auditing standard will be used? I would always recommend ISO 19011, which is the auditing standard. As far as I'm aware, there isn't a specific standard for AI management auditing. It's very rare that you would have a standard specific auditing standard. So, just wanted to kind of share that with you, that would be my recommendation, ISO 19011, which is the standard for auditing, ultimately. We've got another question here from James. How would ISO 42001 sit alongside GDPR and other personal information legislation? Good question. Again, it's similar to the first question about regulatory control. So it would depend country to country in terms of what the controls are for data privacy and personal information legislation. And again, you'd need to, on the planning stage of the standard that I mentioned earlier on, you need to identify what are the applicable risks associated with it. I'd also recommend looking at the guidance in the annexes to get further information on that as well. But ultimately, you need to be able to have mechanisms in place to be able to mitigate that risk. It's just one of the frameworks that you might also be interested in taking a look at, which is ISO IEC 2000. So it was, I think it was 23053 2022. So that's a framework for artificial intelligence systems using machine learning. So that's another one that you could potentially look into. Okay. In terms of how that compares with ISO 42001, interesting one. To be quite honest, we haven't looked at that standard in detail, so I don't feel as though I'm kind of qualified to answer that question right now, but that's certainly something that I can look into for you. We haven't done a comparison on those two, but I know that certainly it's ISO 42001 that the certification bodies are interested in, and also the accreditation bodies. So the, for example, in the UK, UKAS, the United Kingdom Accreditation Service, have actually, it's not necessarily called for papers, but they've contacted all the certification bodies to see which certification bodies are actually interested in doing a pilot against ISO 42001. So I'd recommend that, you know, that's the standard that's the most popular in this space at the moment. But yeah, I'm afraid I won't be able to provide a comparison. This is a question from Philip about how it's comparable with FOSS 2001. Okay, any other questions? I've just got another question here. So ISO 42001 is not yet an accredited standard. That's a question that they're asking. So just to clarify, this standard is a specification. So it could be a standard that is certified against. So as you know, there are a lot of standards out there, including guidance documents like the Sustainable Procurement Standard, ISO 2400. So I just wanted to clarify that this standard is a certifiable standard, but as yet, I personally am not aware that any accreditation body in the UK, I'm only talking about the UK at the moment, has actually accredited a certification body. I'm pretty sure that that is going to be the same internationally. Let's look at the time frame that this standard has actually been in place. It's literally only been around for about 4 months. So that's from the published date. Now, in terms of the typical time frame for a standard to become, well, I should say a certification body to be accredited to issue accredited certification to standard, that time frame generally takes at least 12 months. So I would be quite surprised if there is an accredited certification body for this at the moment. Ordinarily, a certification body would actually do the certification initially as a pilot, and then they would be looking to get accreditation to it. And based on the current demand for this standard, I don't think that's going to be too far away. So I hope that's answered your question, Mark. Any other questions? Okay, thanks. Thanks, Mark. Yeah, just said yes, thanks. Okay, great. Okay, any other questions? I should have gone back onto camera to have completed that so you could actually put a face to the voice. Okay, I'll just wait another couple of moments just to see if there are any other questions that come through. Are your services for implementing an AIMS available now? Oh, right, okay. So this is the AI management system available now. So we're creating all the training content in the Isology Hub. So we've got a wait list for that. We've explored the standard in detail. We've basically torn it apart to look at how we would implement that. We have got the methodology for implementing any ISO standard, Isology Hub. And that's all, was basically the seven steps of implementing any ISO standard in Isology. And we're actually looking for an organization at the moment so that we can run a pilot for that. So to answer your question, the methodology is there, and we've implemented over 20 different ISO standards. So our methodology would not change. It's exactly the same because we know that that has a proven 100% success rate. We know the type of evidence that we're looking for here, and we're looking for a pilot to be able to do this with an AI organization. In fact, we did a podcast with an AI company, Monolith AI, if anybody's interested in hearing on their journey on ISO 27001. Sorry, I know that's slightly unrelated. yeah, we're looking at doing a pilot with an AI firm or with an organization that simply uses AI. So we've started to bring in some AI controls within our own organisation at Blackmores. And we've also included it in our management review that we had just a week ago. We were looking at the risks and opportunities. We've also covered training sessions on it internally as well. So we're very familiar with the opportunities that it brings, but also a lot of the risks as well. So yeah, we're if anybody would like to get in touch with us about being involved with that pilot, if your organisation is looking at maybe doing a gap analysis or implementing this through to certification, then we'd love to hear from you. Okay. Right, any other questions? Oh, I think, sorry, just one observation. With this standard, it would blend beautifully with ISO 27001, the Information Security Management System standard. And also, I think it would be a great asset to any business continuity management system as well. So the standard ISO 22301 is a standard that this would definitely, because we're now starting to see AI response plans for people dealing with negative issues associated with AI. Yeah, but I think initially in terms of looking at weaving this into the management system, it integrates beautifully with 9001, you know, when you're looking at context, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities and threats, and also, of course, interested parties. As an organisation, we've also looked at our preferred AI tools and we've got controls around that. So, yeah, I think it's part and parcel of everyday life. And I think it's obviously going to be something that we need to include within our business operations, similar to an information security policy, social media policy, business continuity. AI is the next one if you haven't got one in place already. Any other questions? I think we've just got a few more minutes left. Yep. Oh, thank you, Mark. Yep. Yeah, that sounds good in terms of delivery context. Yes, you'll get in touch with us to, yeah, we'd be more than happy to discuss working in collaboration following on from the webinar. I think my details are available on the previous slide and I think they should be sent out and the email from PJR as well. So you're welcome. I'm getting a few thank yous through. So great. I'm glad you got something out of this. It is a very new area for all of us. But actually, when you look at the standard, it does make a lot of common sense. If you're already familiar with ISO standards, yeah, I think it's something that is definitely going to be complementary to your existing management system. So thank you very much for listening. And as I said, there'll be further information that's sent out in an email by PJR. Thank you.